Turn with him in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Father, I pray that you just catch us up this afternoon. Amen. People have made the effort to come in for your word, and I pray that you make it worth their while. I know it's worth their while. I pray you make it known to them it's worth their while, and that they receive word tonight that brings transformation to their lives. Cause them to walk in higher levels of your anointing and power and faith. In Jesus' name. Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 35, God says, "And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face." God wants to have a face-to-face relationship with you. "Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness and the land of Egypt, so I will plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod." You'll be declared holy. You will pass God's required standards. "And I will bring you into the bond of covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord." God says here he's going to bring us into the bond of covenant. In other words, God is going to make supernatural connections in your life. They may not seem supernatural, but it's going to be relationships that God is establishing by his own purpose, and for his own, by his own will and for his own purpose. Amen. And God's going to connect you with people that you may not have known in the past, but they're going to become very close to you. Amen. And as you give yourself into these covenant relationships, God's going to enhance. He's going to increase the anointing on your life. And those that will not come into this bond of covenant, especially in the body of Christ, he's going to remove. I know that I know. In 1987, came to Grace Fellowship of the church we started attending in Lexington, and Pastor Ron Callahan just came in as a new pastor, and there was a connection made in the spirit between us and him. Amen. And as we came together to pray in the mornings, he announced morning prayer probably a couple years later, and I'd come to pray in the morning, and there were people I'd never met before. Pastor Philip Derber wasn't a pastor at the time. Jim Schreiner, Sherry Gaines, Lee Fields. We started praying together, and God started making connections in the Spirit. People I've never met. Now, here I am, you know, 87, I'm 43 years old. 33 years old. And being, about made myself too older, making these connections of people I'd never known before that now, 25 years later, are my best friends. You follow my closest associates, because I let God establish me in the bond of covenant with the people he wanted me in connection with. And now every one of the people that were praying in those mornings that stayed and allowed that connection to be made in that fashion, every one of them are in full-time ministry that stayed in covenant. And it's a God thing. And God wants to so get involved in our lives. He can establish our friendships. Amen. He can position where we're supposed to go to church, what we're supposed to do in the church, and fulfill the high calling on our lives. Those that cannot bond in covenant, that God cannot direct their steps and bring them to the people they're supposed to be in contact with, and set up these covenants that they're to protect with all their heart, they will never go to the high calling. They'll never go to the highest levels of anointing. You must let God bring you into covenant bonds. Because there'll be supernatural relationships that are established for your mutual benefit. And in those relationships, God has a plan for your life in those. He's going to do something. And the enemy, recognizing these bonds being made, will try to attack them with everything he has. And you have to know covenant to stand your ground to keep from being divided out from these relationships. In particular, your relationship with the church God sent you to. People come in here and they say, "Oh, I love this church." They'll come, you know, there'll be a service too. "I just love it. Oh, this is home. Oh, I never want to leave." And I can understand. I believe it's a great place to be. Amen. 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 I believe this is home. But I'll tell people, you're on a honeymoon right now. Go ahead and commit yourself to covenant. Recognize this is the Spirit of God making this real to you, that God is letting you know this is your church. And then be ready to fight every devil in hell that's going to try to take you out later. He will try to buy you out. He will try to lie to you and get your emotions stirred up that you'll want to leave. And you got to be determined that I'm not going to leave where God has positioned me. I will hold to my covenant commitments. Amen. And then watch God. Watch God promote you. Watch God promote you to the highest levels. Because covenant keeps you positioned where God can anoint you. Again, there's a whole mentality floating through the body of Christ now that you can be a wandering star. Amen. You can just roam around or float around where you want to. Go to church where you feel like that day or whatever. And there's this mindset, well, God will anoint me wherever I'm at. No, He won't. He has a plan. And He wants you to be led of the Spirit where He wants to send you. Because He's a covenant God. The disciples weren't allowed to just roam. Hey, oh, we'll follow Jesus today. But, you know, I think we're going to go back to John the Baptist. And in fact, there's a couple of Pharisees preaching a great word. Let's go ahead and listen to them this week. I believe when you come into covenant, when you come into covenant with the church and that assigned vision God's brought you into, you're to be committed to it. Not float around and not let any devil take you out or lure you out. Amen. And especially not be bought out. Oh, praise the Lord. See, I hope you know I'm not a hireling. So it doesn't matter where anybody offers me a church, where they offer me a house and a car with it, a brand new ultra classic Harley Davidson motorcycle. I can't go. I can't go except where God has assigned me to be, and He's assigned me to be in Georgetown. Do you follow me at that? And as far as I know, I'm here forever. But there's no price can be paid as an offer to buy me out of where God sent me. But you have to be the same mentality. There's no purchase price the devil can spend on me to take me out of where God sent me, where He's positioned me. Because my calling is reliant upon me being in the will of God. Versus as Jude talked about, a cloud without water, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Which is what floating is all about. Amen. No roots. No covenant commitment. No knowledge of who their pastor is or God's full will for their life. Told you we're just going to get after and go. Amen. So God wants to bring us into this bond of covenant. And we've been talking about four covenant rules that if we're going to walk in unity, it's required that we understand these rules. Understand, if you'll come into the covenant in the house of God and it's where God sent you, there should be available an anointing of love that you can access to keep you connected. See, I don't have to try to love you guys in this church. There's an anointing on me for it. You come in here, you come in, connect to the church, and my heart's connected to yours, and there's an anointing that we can tap into, and we just love each other. Do you follow me? I mean, some have been with me for 20 years, and I love them. Some of you have been with me for a few months. I still love you. Why? Because there's an anointing on us to be the body of Christ that we have to protect, we have to guard, right? We are to operate and flow in the love of God. And the love of God will connect you to people you're to be in covenant with. But as we've talked about before, you don't always feel loving. Sometimes your tank is low. You haven't had enough word, haven't had enough prayer. Maybe the devil's bringing a particular attack against you where you feel like you're being slammed. But sometimes I feel like I've been slammed by the devil. Like you get slammed, you're trying to catch your breath, you get slammed again. You get slammed again. He's after your covenant connection. He's trying to sever you from where you're supposed to be. And you have to understand the principles of covenant to not be taken out. Because one of the first things the enemy tells you, once he's body slammed you four or five times, you follow me, attacked your emotions, one of the first things he always says is, if you will just leave that church, things will be okay. It's because you're at that church that there's such an attack. And really, that's the truth. It's because you're at that church, you're being attacked. Amen? And if you leave that church, the attack will probably end. But so will your calling to some level. So will the highest levels of anointing you're after. See, you can't leave the living church and choose to go to the dead church and say you lack and think you'll access the same anointing. You're being attacked because the enemy wants to take you out of where your promise is, where your power is, where your hope is, amen, where your destiny is established. And we have to understand the rules of covenant to keep from being taken out. And to maintain our integrity as a body walking in the love of God. So rule number one was, a covenant Christian will not criticize or condemn other people in the church, right? You refuse to criticize or critique other people in the body of Christ, in particular in your church body. You refuse to allow that seed of division to be sown. So we do not use our tongues as weapons against one another, right? So we learn to restrain our judgments, restrain from tearing each other down. Rule number two we studied was, a covenant Christian refuses to be offended, because somebody's going to violate rule one. Or you're going to think they did, and a covenant Christian says, it doesn't matter. I'm connected by the power of God's love, the anointing stronger than what they said, and I refuse to harbor offense. And if people don't get offended, then the criticisms don't matter. Listen, it could be that I could come and correct you sometime and I'd be wrong. Did you follow me? I mean, I could chew you out for something because I thought maybe you'd done something and maybe you're totally innocent. And you'll have to be enough covenant-minded to forgive me. You follow me? And continue with the program. You could blow something or go off on me. I know it's hard to believe, but I've had a few people in this church go off on me before. It's like I touched the wrong trigger, and it's like a flood. And I got to be willing to forgive. Amen. Just let it go. It's just the devil trying to cause division. Just put it under the blood. Amen. Let love cover it and move on. So we refuse to be offended. And last week we started on rule number three. Does anybody remember rule number three? Serve others. Amen. Obey the Holy Spirit's number four. But last week we taught on serving others. Amen. Let's look at a few verses dealing with this again. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty." You've been called to liberty. Did you know you have liberty? You're free. But you're not free from following God. You're not free to walk in hate. I tell you what, too many people take this liberty thing further than God intended for it to be. What God meant is that you have liberty. He means you have liberty from darkness. You've been given liberty from bondage. Amen? You've been given liberty from the world system. But you've not been given liberty from the will of God. You've not been given liberty from the purpose of God. So you don't have liberty to float around and do what you want to do. You've been given liberty from darkness so you can follow light. You've been given liberty from the flesh so you can follow the Spirit. Our liberty does not extend to disobeying God. Now understand, you can miss God, you can disobey, repent, and everything's fine. But your liberty's not there that nobody can tell you what to do. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 to obey those that have the rule over you whose faith follow. Do you follow me? Obey those. Follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Continually it tells us to honor those that are over us in the Lord. Do you follow me? That God has a government system and He does have a hierarchy of leadership. And it says to honor that. To not get involved in sedition or rebellion. Remember He said He would purge the rebellious from among us? But so many people have this mindset of liberty, and they think, well, nobody can tell me what to do. I don't listen to any man. I listen to God alone. You're deceived. Because God set up His church government system on the earth. You are deceived if you don't need anybody to speak into your life or watch over your life, or you don't need a covering. Amen. You've not been given liberty to do everything you want to do. Well, I've just made up my mind I'm going to be a serial killer. I just have liberty. It doesn't work that way. Now, that's an extreme statement, but we could take it all the way into other levels of sin, willful sin activity. He says, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. By love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. By love, we've been given liberty from sin, liberty from selfish motivations, liberty from all forms of bondage. And now he says, now that you have liberty, become a servant. He says, now that you have liberty, become a servant to all men. Well, that sounds like the opposite of liberty. When the world thinks of liberty, they think of you can do what you want, when you want, where you want, with who you want. You follow me? To who you want. That's your own personal expression of liberty. But in fact, God says you've been given liberty to become a servant. And now you're to be the servants of all men. We brought this out last week, but if we have a church of everybody that's a taker, then you'll have a church that rips each other apart. When people start taking from each other, hard feelings develop. There's a series came out several years back called Band of Brothers. Anybody ever see Band of Brothers? An awesome series. It's about a group of soldiers in World War II in the 101st Airborne that takes them through their training, their boot camp training, all the way into going into World War II, through the entire war. And it's, I don't know, 10 DVDs or something like that. And it's an excellent teaching on covenant. I mean, there's examples all the way through. And in one scene, there's one of the men that have just been made, I think, a corporal or a sergeant. And his lieutenant comes in, and he's gambling, playing poker with the other men. And he loses. The guy loses. And the lieutenant later calls him aside and he says, look, you should never play poker with your men. And he's saying, why? They're my friends. I know them. He says, yes, but you should never put yourself in a position, even though you lost this time, you should never put yourself in a position as their leader that you can take from them. They should see you as willing to give to them versus take from them. If you have a church as all poker players looking to take from each other, you will have a bitter church toward one another. You know, if you're in a negotiation and you know, maybe somebody buys a car from someone in the church, which is fine. But you want to make sure if you're selling somebody a car, you don't take advantage of them. Do you follow me? That's why I choose just usually to sell them. If you sell them, then you don't have to worry about somebody feeling like they were taken advantage of if something breaks down. You maintain the attitude of a servant. Because when you always take the attitude of a servant, you're always putting yourself in a role that is a giver instead of taking a taker. And instead of bitterness developing, love connections are made. Do you follow me? I mean, if I stood up here and I said, hey, I'm giving every one of you a brand new car tomorrow, how many know you'll have a newfound love for me? That's my pastor. I bet Sunday's attendance will go way up too. And who knows, it may happen someday. Amen. And I won't tell anybody, I'll wait till service time. Better keep coming Sunday nights in case I give away the cars. The point is a taking mentality produces division. A servant mentality produces unity. And a covenant person takes on upon themselves the attitude of a servant. Jesus took upon the attitude of a servant. Remember, he washed the disciples' feet? We're to do likewise. Not necessarily washing feet, but you can wash cars. You can just take a position of how can I be a blessing to people in this church? Amen. Versus how can I get something from them? I think it's an affront to the blood of Christ that so many people come into church looking to make business connections, looking to find people they can take advantage of, versus find out what can they sow? How can they give? How can they be a blessing? Not that in the church you can't make business connections, but it shouldn't be your motivation to find somebody to take advantage of. Amen. And so we are to be servants of all men. Mark chapter 9, we went here last week, but let's look at it again. Mark chapter 9, let's go to verse 35. And Jesus sat down and called the 12. And saith unto them, if any man desire to be the first, the same shall be the last of all, and servant of all. You want to be first? Become servant. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. We're to receive each other as children. As children that need somebody to sow into their lives. Amen. And we're to become servants of all men. I need to find the right verse though. Verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Here it says, whatever you do in the name of servitude, amen, unto God, you'll not lose a reward. Well, praise God. I like rewards. I like blessings. I like God's favor. And I know if I become a taker, I lose that favor. But if I become a servant, I step into it at the highest levels. In this process of going into the glory that we're all in, there's many spiritual desires you're going to have. When I first got saved, I wanted to walk in the gifts. You know, I found out there were gifts in the Spirit. I'm praying, I'm seeking the gifts of God. Oh, Lord, let me walk in this power. I wanted to walk in the high calling of God. Oh, God, let me know your high calling. Let me walk in that high calling. Amen? Let me know your assignment. Am I to go to the nations? Am I go to preach over here? What am I to do? And every time I'd go to God, he'd go say, go clean that bathroom. Go fix that shower. Go help that other person in the church. Fix their car or whatever. And I think, God, but I'm after this high calling. And the Lord was saying, no, you don't understand. I'm taking you to the high calling. I'm teaching you to do what's important. And basically what he let me know is he said, if you will become a servant, I'll get you to the calling. Amen. And if you'll become a servant and believe for the gifts, they will manifest. But what good are the gifts if you use them for your own purposes? What good are the gifts if you're just trying to get something from somebody, buy them, or you know, just trying to be seen? It will work to your destruction. Become a servant, become covenant-minded. Then when God gives you something, you know it will be used properly and produce the rewards that you're after. Amen. Become a servant to all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me go through some of these verses here real quick. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And let's just go to verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here's Paul. Here's Paul writing. He says, we're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching servitude. We're not trying to edify ourselves. We're trying to let you know this is what being in the body of Christ is all about. It's about being somebody that helps those about you. We're here for the purposes of furthering the development and unity and growth of the body of Christ. That's what this church is about. We're here to increase the body of Christ. But it's going to take us learning in and walking in the covenant power of God. Amen? Becoming servants unto one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go. Let's just go to verse 19, otherwise we could get caught up in this other teaching. Paul says, for though I be free from all men, those I don't know anybody anything, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He says, I'm free from all men. You follow me? But I've made myself a servant. I've made myself a servant to all men that I might gain the more. Because, see, taking drives people away. Amen. Sowing, giving, serving, loving draws people to you. And Paul said, if I can just become a servant, I will draw the harvest in. Jesus had the same attitude. Amen. He said, as I sow myself in a seed and then I'm high and lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Jesus became a servant on behalf of the covenant that he's brought us into. Amen? We should have the same mindset Jesus had. But you have to be willing to kill off that self-serving mentality. You have to be willing to kill off the fear of not having or being taken advantage of. Did you follow me? See, we've been raised up thinking we have to scrimp and save and hoard and protect and, you know, build up and protect that, you know, get all we can all we get and sit on the can. And servant mentality takes the opposite approach. It says, I'm going to bless other people. And I'm going to separate from the fear of lack. The fear of not having, the fear of what if God doesn't pay me back in the time frame I need, and become that servant to the level that the anointing overtakes your life. Servanthood accesses the very love of God. We'll see it again further as we get into this. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, says, let no corrupt communication, that would be criticism, right, condemnation, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Speak that which is going to edify or build up those around you. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Verse 1, chapter 5. And ye that be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. We're to emulate Christ and be a blessing to build up. Amen. Versus be suspicious and allow division to exist in our midst. We are to follow Jesus Christ in a servanthood mentality. And it will take your faith to do it. We always think of using our faith to receive healing, faith to receive finances, faith to, you know, to walk in liberty, get free of stuff. But the truth is, one of the strongest things you'll have, one of the greatest things you'll ever use your faith for is to be a servant. Because it requires your faith. It requires Peggy's faith to bring food to Friday night prayer. First of all, it's a seed she's sowing. There's money involved. Will it be appreciated? Will people like it? Amen. Will she get her dishes back? Not to mention the time she's invested. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith for each of you, in, you know, to do what you're doing. You know, Aaron doing praise and worship, it takes faith for him to serve us in that fashion. He's not on payroll at this time. He has to come in and practice. He and Leon come in Saturdays and practice. They come in early. They do all this work, get it all together. Well, they're serving. But it requires their faith to do it. Got Betty and China come spend all night here, a couple nights a week, to get up and clean the next day. It takes faith to do that. Well, does anybody even appreciate what we're doing? You know, if they let their tank get low, they'll go around and see all the messes people made in the church versus do it in love, you know. Not that that would ever happen to them. Takes your faith to commit to these things. What if I don't get anything back from the people? Understand, God says you do it to the people, you did it unto Him, and you'll not lose your reward. Just choose to be a blessing. Choose to sow your life as a seed and trust God with the harvest. What if I spend my entire life sowing into people's lives and I never get anything back from anybody? Well, then guess what? You got a harvest coming in heaven. Amen? Because you're going to be there a whole lot longer than you're here. You might as well use the opportunity you have now to sow the best seed you can. And you are the best seed you have. See, praise God for financial seed. But there's a lot of people that have a lot of money will sow a financial seed versus get involved themselves in stuff. You really become a servant in it. Well, I'll just give them some money. Praise God, send all the money here you want to send. We receive it, amen. But what's your attitude of servitude? Is it just something you're doing to, you know, to feel better about yourself? Or do you really have a servant heart? Let God transform your thinking to become a servant. And then find out who you can bless. And then watch God bless you. I've said it many times, but I've tried to live my Christian walk as a servant, and now God's got people doing stuff for me that I hated to do myself. I got somebody driving every week from Nicholasville to mow my grass because I hate mowing grass. Amen? And God's had me to do stuff for other people that they didn't like to do. That's seed. What's going on? God's building us together as the body of Christ through servitude actions. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Verse 8 through 10 talks about the 9 spiritual gifts: prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healings, miracles, all the way through the list. But it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, in other words, the manifestation of these gifts, is given to every man to profit withal. What that means is the gift you get isn't for you. It's for others. The truth is, here's the way God operates. Follow me on this. When God gives somebody the gifts of healings, did you know those gifts are for other people and not themselves? There have been many great healing evangelists that had the gifts that could heal every form of disease, but then they were taken out by disease. Because the gift does not enable you to lay hands on yourself. Because the gifts are given to profit outwardly, not inwardly. So gifts aren't given for your own edification, for your own spiritual, you know, how can I say it, demonstration. For your own purposes of your own prideful spiritual demonstration. The gifts are given to be of a blessing to the body of Christ. That's God's heart. He says, what I give you is for other people. What I've imparted to you is not for you, it's for them. You are a gift of the body of Christ. And as you sow yourself as a seed, then God will raise up other people to be your source of harvest. My wife does almost all the chores in the house. She works here several days a week, then she goes home and she does the laundry, the vacuuming, the dishes, most of the cooking, All of it. And you know what? I thank God for it because I hate to do those things. I hate doing laundry. I hate the I can't even stand the sound of a vacuum cleaner. I tell you what, it's like, oh, help me, Jesus. And she delights in it. She says she delights. She's in her element when she's doing those things. She's sowing herself into the house, and the household. Amen. She makes the bed. I would. Do you know, if it was up to me, I'd never make the bed. Because I'm in the mentality, you're going to get in tonight anyway. Why make it up? I think she changes the sheets every other day. She just likes clean sheets. You know, like, I think she thinks she's, you know, like getting to stay at a hotel or something, get clean sheets every day. So she changes. Me? It wouldn't be happening. You follow me? Oh, yeah. It's winter. She saw a show years ago about these little bacteria, whatever looked like sheep that get in your sheets and they eat dead skin flakes. So I think it freaked her out ever since. So every other day she's changing the sheets, killing them sheep off so they can't multiply. Amen. May I just keep feeding them? Got my own little herd there. The point is, she does the jobs I hate. But you know what? She's never had to change oil in a car. Never had to go to have it changed. Amen. She's never had to repair anything around the house. And in most cases, she's never had to kill a bug. We can't afford for her to kill bugs. Because it's a $4 can of insect spray for each bug. She starts spraying a circle of insecticide down. If there's a bug on the floor, she starts 5 feet away and starts a circle. She can't afford for it to jump on her, and then she starts working her way in. Till she gets to the bug and why not just stomp on it and save the spray? The point is we serve each other. And really tasks the other doesn't like. And in doing so, God fuses us together. We take what God gives us and we bring it to the house of God. And we serve through what God's imparted to us. It fuses us together in a covenant fashion. Amen. And then those that come in and want to take stand out like a sore thumb in a healed body. Did you follow me? Stands out. And God says, I'll purge out those that are takers, the rebels. In your midst. The gifts are God given to profit each other. That is, I want you to see, that's the heart of God. I put stuff on you for everybody's use. What was on Jesus wasn't for his purpose. Everything Jesus went through, his calling, it wasn't for his purpose. It was for ours. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What was it when he was serving? Amen. But guess what? After he was finished his life on earth serving, he was promoted with God. Amen. Exalted to the right hand of the Father and given all dominion, all authority. Praise God. So here we're determined to live this life of servitude. But the truth is, servitude does more for us than just connect us in an affectionate manner in the body of Christ. Servitude. Or sowing into the body, sowing your life into other people is the seed to access the anointing of God's love. Of God's love. Let me say that again. Everything in the kingdom of God works by seed time and harvest. And when you become a person that becomes a servant, and you're taking your life and sowing your life into other people as a seed, you position yourself, especially if you'll have faith for it, you position yourself to experience the manifestation of the love of God in your life. And when the love of God's on you, servitude is automatic. When the love of God's on you, unity is automatic. Look at 1 Peter. Let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go to verse number 22. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. He says, you purified your souls unto through the Spirit, through the Spirit's leading, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That word love of the brethren is a word, understand in the Greek, let me try to explain this. In our English language, we have one word we use is love. Amen? That covers a wide range of different meanings. But in the Greek, these are actually where it talks about love of the brethren and we access the love of God. They're two different words. The word here that it says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, that word there is agape. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Actually, it's agapeo. Is the God kind of love. It represents the very nature of God type love. It's the anointing of God's love. It's a supernatural love that loves those that hate you. You follow me? God's unconditional love. But where it says love of the brethren is not agape. It's Philadelphia. Philio. I said it's Philio. Which is brotherly love. So he says here, I need you to let your soul be purified and let the Spirit lead you into being a person that loves the brethren. In other words, it's out of choice. It's out of decision. That you become a servant in the body of Christ. He says, choose to sow your life into those around you. And he says, it will allow you then to love with a God kind of love. Let me read that verse again so you can see it more clearly. Hopefully see it more clearly. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, you've changed the way you think. Your soul's been transformed by the Word. That you now operate with the mentality of a servant. The unfeigned love of the brethren is one word. Philio. Brotherly love is the way it's usually translated. Walk in brotherly love. Walk in brotherly kindness. Be a blessing. And he says, see that you love, agape one another with a pure heart fervently. Philio is natural actions of love. Agape is supernatural love. When you choose to walk in philio and you have your faith extended for the supernatural, agape will come on your life. Are you following me on this? And philio is the step of faith you take to function in agape. Years ago, I'm saying, God, I just want your agape. Oh, God, flood me with your love. I want the love of God in my life. Let me love like you love. And God said, okay, I got to make you a servant. I got to get your faith connected to become a servant and laying down these self-serving motives, self-serving ideals and mentalities. Make yourself a servant to all men, and you'll be qualified. You'll be sowing yourself into the love of God. I'm after the anointing of love above all things. Because I know everything will be perfected in that love. All motives, all attitudes, all deliverance from pride and everything else will be perfected in the love of God. So I'm after love. But I know if I want love, I have to sow my life as a seed. Because philio is the action you take to position yourself for agape. You cannot function in selfish motives, selfish attitudes, and access agape. Did you follow me? That's why the glory of God is coming on a covenant church. Because glory is tangible love. At the highest levels, love manifested. Amen? And so that love can only come upon a people that have a servant attitude, that have become covenant-minded. So we get the body in covenant, acting in servitude to one another, not looking what they can extract or take from each other, but how can I be a blessing? Covenant is developed, and the anointing of love is poured on us, and it overflows as the glory. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory potential is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Glory is in you, but God's got to get it out. How does He get it out? Through you operating in filio. You become a servant and it opens the gates for the love of God to flow through you and for the glory to manifest. I want to walk in the fullness of the love of God. But I recognize to do so, I've got to change the way I think. So many people are waiting for an outpouring of God's love and God's saying, I need you to shift. Quit looking at people as resources. Amen. Look at them as targets for your blessing. Amen. And love will come forth. Look at 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Let's start at verse 2 just so we can get this in context. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Savior, according as His divine power, that's dunamis, as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. We just have to step into it. We can walk in a godlike fashion. Amen. We can walk in the life of God. It's all provided if we'll just position ourselves for it. And this is what He's talking about here. He says, through the knowledge of Him. In other words, to step into the things of God, you have to have knowledge. God's got to get the Word in you to provide you knowledge of how to walk into His glory. The knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. You're called to glory. Did you see that? And virtue. Well, I just want to see we're called to glory, but not the virtue. Virtue means moral excellence. Virtue represents walking in the fullness of integrity and honoring truth. Being a person of your word. And God says you're called to glory and virtue. You cannot go into the glory beyond the level that you're a person of virtue. You got to let God change your integrity level. If it's not at the highest levels already. And God will challenge you in those areas. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. There's the promises in the Word of God. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's love. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Here God says you've been given great and precious promises. That you can escape the world. And walk in God's divine nature. And then it tells you the process or the cycle or the flow that takes place. He says in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence or all focus, all attention, all effort. Add to your faith, the seed of faith that you have, add to it virtue. Start using your faith to develop moral excellence. Start using your faith to walk in integrity. Tell the truth even if it costs you. Amen. Refuse to try to take advantage of people. Amen. And adding to your virtue, knowledge. As you start to walk in integrity, God's going to bring you gnosis. He's going to bring you knowledge of the things of the kingdom. He's going to open up the Word because as you honor truth, truth comes. He says, and to knowledge, temperance, self-control. Oh, God's going to start to anoint you to overcome stuff that's caused you problems in the past. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness or godlikeness, a life. The word godliness really is closely affiliated with the word worship. You're going to become a person of worship. You're going to start to represent God in your life's, how can I say, in the reflection you bring forth. And he says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. There's filio. He's talking about a process of developing in the divine nature. A process of going from where you are to where God wants you, walking in the fullness of His image. And He says, in this process, as I'm taking you from faith to virtue and virtue to whatever the next one is, amen? Taking you through this cycle, He says, now as you're going through the cycle, I'm going to shift how you think, and I want to make you a person of filial, a person of brotherly kindness. You're going to shift in your thinking, become a person that is a blessing to those around you. Not just walking in integrity. You can walk in truth and still want to take advantage of people. But you shifted that now you're living to be a blessing. And then He says, and adding to your brotherly kindness, or filio, agape love. Again, here we see that brotherly kindness is a step to position us for the love of God. Does anybody here beside me want to walk in the love of God? I mean, He says it fulfills all the intention of the Word. It's His plan and purpose. It's the precursor to the glory. We want the love of God. But He says you don't get to the love without going through the step of filio. So you don't get to the glory without becoming a person who is a servant. See, we're of the microwave generation. Amen? I remember when microwaves came out. I lived on baked potatoes for years. I was single, amen. Microwave was my answer. I went from boiling bags to microwave meals. Amen, I'm telling you. But a whole bunch of it weren't even born when microwaves came out. Do you follow me? And now everything went from, you know, having to prepare food, make a meal, cook the meal, preheat ovens, to now, beep, 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 it's done. Do you know we used to not eat very much popcorn because making popcorn was a hassle? I mean, when I was a kid, popcorn was a big event. You had to get the oil and heat the oil, put the popcorn in there, get the lid put on, and they'd shake it. You may remember shaking the popcorn? They'd make the popcorn and you'd shake the pan. And you always got the most burnt pan you had in the house. A lot of people had their own popcorn pan. And because it had all that grease always burning and everything else, you shake it because it's popcorn. You want the seeds to rattle to the bottom and keep in the oil. And you popped the popcorn up. And then you had to make sure you put the right amount in. Otherwise, you had popcorn going everywhere. We didn't do a whole lot of popcorn all the time. Now, put a bag in. They have a button on the microwave that says popcorn. Just punch the button. Popcorn. So we're used to wanting it and having it now. I saw a post on Facebook the other day, and they were talking about Grandma used to have to walk to the TV to change channels. We're so used to remote controls, right? On everything. I got remote controls on my car radios. Like, you can't punch the button, but you can take the remote and... I guess it's for the backseat radio listeners. Here's the thing. We always want to skip steps to get to the end result. What can I do just to get me to the end? Get me to the end. And God says, in a cycle of love, you can't skip steps. He's put in here what's required, and it's not going to be instantaneous. It's going to take time, and it's going to take a shift in your lifestyle. You want the glory? Let God change you. You want to carry the glory of God? Let God make you a servant. And then watch that servant attitude as it sweeps through the body of Christ, cement us together. I know this kind of message isn't the most exciting. Teach me about the power. Teach me about the gifts. Teach me about casting out devils. But these are the ones that anoint us to get there. No covenant. Remember Psalm 133? It's good and pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that ascend upon Aaron, even Aaron's beard, down the skirts of his garments. Unity, anointing, blessing. Covenant. Anointing of love. Glory of God. We've got to choose to be that people that let God shift you. And again, it's going to take all the faith you have. Because the devil's going to scream in your ear, they're taking advantage of you. You're putting all this effort in. You're getting nothing back. Do you think you can outgive God? Worse is, God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. He repeats this over and over again. That if you just sow your life, sow what you have, I will pay it back. 30, 60, 100 fold. I will bring into your life what you can't even manifest of yourself. See, I have the ability to give somebody some gas money. But if somebody needing gas is dying of cancer, that's not going to help them. If they're in extreme back pain or have, you know, extreme physical challenges, my 20 bucks isn't going to help them. Probably $1 million isn't going to help them fully either. They need something supernatural. Part of the 36 to 100 fold is the anointing that does in your life what you can't do of yourself. It multiplies what God has put on you to an extent that you can function in that realm of kingdom blessing. But it starts with covenant. And covenant requires servanthood. I hope you got a hold of this. I hope it's blessed you. And I hope it's challenged you to make some shifts. Because I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make this real to us. And we live in this fashion. And those that come in the church, I'm telling you, those that come in the church with taking attitudes and they won't change. See, I keep preaching this because we keep needing to hear it for all the new people coming in to refresh our minds that we have to live in this fashion and cast down that lie that says you're being used. Nobody appreciates you. You work hard and you do all stuff for everybody else, but nobody does anything for you. Cast it down. God will fix it. Those that come in with taking attitudes, if they won't shift, God will remove them. Do you follow me? Because he's going to protect the covenant core in the body, the integrity of covenant in the body. Father, I thank you for this word that you do seal it within us and you make us a people of unity, a people of supernatural love, a people that choose to sow our lives into one another and be there for each other. I thank you, Father, you've made us the family of God and the body of Christ, and we choose to be connected fully into this body in a covenant fashion. Teach us what we need to shift to move more fully into it. And Father, by the power of your Spirit, lead us in a fashion that we can be a servant to everybody around us. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let me say this again. We're to be a blessing, but not let our attitude of blessing let us be used. You follow me? And every once in a while, I have somebody come into church that's a leech. It's one of the five foolish bridesmaids that won't do anything themselves. And I will address leeches. You follow me? If I see somebody come and take advantage of people that I love, I'm not going to let them roam freely. And you don't have to let yourself be taken advantage of either. Paul said, those that won't work, don't let them eat. He had standards required for being a blessing. That you don't let yourself be, don't let the love God put on you, let other people that don't have that love use you for their purposes. But at the same time, those that have chosen to walk in love, we make ourselves servants too. Well, look, hug some neck, share the love of God, be a blessing.